T.J. Parker. I'll tell you one thing. I seen him on film the other day chasing a running back. And I said, who the heck is that matching the running back step for step? And I was like, oh, he a cheat code. As the more I start to watch film and, you know, learn my teammates and start to watch them do, and everybody in the league freaky in their own way. And he was chasing the running back. And I was like, he really matching him step for step. So that's just one of the things that he's just explosive, fast, a young kid. I don't know the extent of what his roles are going to be this year, but I'm happy to play with him.
Ed Oliver. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio in half an hour. 803-0550 for your calls. We spent some time on the Knicks. Dan Lieberfeld doesn't appreciate, and this is not a criticism, that we are not Mike and the Bulldog. My last name enters the
enters the fray, yeah.
Usually, if not always. So it's funny to him and his followers that we're almost Mike and the Mad Dog, but right. We are not the Mad Dog, and we're really not Mike and the Bulldog either.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't.
Schopen the Bulldog is.
That's why I don't play with him on that.
Yeah.
Because it's not exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, if he really wanted to lean into it, he could have tweeted, I'm going to be on with Mike and the Dog.
Yeah.
That would
like Peter King would say.
Right.
He did say that once. Yes. We had audio of it. Yes. Let me tell you, no, it was Schopen the Dog, wasn't it? Yeah. Let me tell you a little bit about Schopen the Dog.
Winnipeg?
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. Non sequitur city here.
It's not too hot to talk Sabres, is it?
Ain't going to be ever too hot to talk Sabres,
okay, good.
In my opinion, this offseason.
Alex Tuch is gone, right?
Probably, yes. But I still think that everything you've been hearing about the separation, it's been pretty consistent. But I said this last week, and I'll say it again, as we're another week closer, that it's in the player's best interest and their agent's best interest to get the word out. I think if you want to stay, and you want to try to drive the price up any way you can, and maybe there's some pressure that comes if everyone's talking about it all the time or whatever, I don't know. I still think the deadline could come, and he could, at the last minute, just take the best offer the Sabres have, because he never really wanted to leave. It wasn't in his heart. His wife really likes it here. Whatever. I don't know. I don't want to close the door entirely on that. He will be offered, if he goes to the market, more money somewhere else. There's almost no question about that. So if that's what it ends up being all about, and I'm not being judgmental by saying that, like, if that's the path he goes, then yeah, I think he's probably gone. But I think there's still, to me, hope that he just is trying to get the best deal he can for himself while never really wanting to leave. And if that's the case, then we could get kind of like, you remember Stamkos? How many years ago was that? We were hot and heavy about Stamkos. He's going to get to the market. He's near, you know, the family's nearby. Like, that might be compelling. It's not Toronto, but, you know, maybe Buffalo. And then on June 30th, he, nope, not going anywhere. Staying 7 years, whatever it was, stayed in Tampa. That's similar. I mean, Tuch is not Steven Stamkos, a legendary cup-winning captain. But he was a kingpin guy on that team, and it seemed like he was going to go to market. He was the number one target in free agency, and at the last minute, he stayed. So I think that could still happen, but the most likely scenario is he's going to get a huge 7-year contract somewhere else for maybe $12 million a year and be gone.
Well, I'll say the line, I'm gullible. So I am basing my expectations here on these. It's often the case that the insiders all report the same thing, which, you know, isn't a bad thing, because that might be a sign that it's accurate. Like, they're all getting the same information and saying the same thing. But it's more than just, to my eyes and ears, it's more than just the objective aspect that apparently the Sabres don't want to get to Tuck's request, as has been seemingly the case for months. I mean, going back well into the season. There's more language to these reports than just that. And that's also how I found, and we talked about it, Kekalainen to be, when he talked about Tuch a couple of different times at a press conference and then in a radio interview. he's saying a little bit more, I think. And then I think that comes through in Elliott and Pierre LeBrun and the like. I think he's saying a little bit more than, you know, look, we'd love to get this done, but sometimes you can't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think maybe he doesn't want to do it. And, you know, there's a number that he would do it at, but it seems that it's not close to what Tuck thinks he can get. So what is that even to say about the Sabres' interest in keeping Tuck? It's really not. It's like a token effort. And I don't think I want to blame them, but that's what it sounds like to me. Mm-hmm. Is like, you know, we're not slamming the door on him, but we know how far apart our idea is from his. And then, you know, sort of what's the point when it's like that? You think I'm right?
Well, I would tell you not to be so hard on yourself for being, it's a bit of your brand, you're gullible. I think in this instance, I'm the one who's being gullible, because I'm the one over here talking about the hokey hometown, you know, all that. Like, that's more gullible than the cold-blooded reality of big-time pro sports, where we're talking about, you know, a difference of $10 million over the lifetime of a contract, maybe. Like, it's a lot of dough. So, you know, it's easy to sit on the sideline and say, how much money do you need? So I think my, you know, explanation there of what, you know, what could still happen is more gullible than what you're suggesting, which is mostly reading the room, which, you know, there's every reason to think the guy's going to walk, I think, right now. The other little nugget I'll throw in, again, because I just thought of it while you were talking there, because, you know, the Sabres have seemingly been at whatever number they're at, and the gap has not ever really been bridged at all, effectively. You're right, the reporting has been consistent going back into, like, February, I think, on this. Is that Kekalainen... Sure, he sounds like he sounds, and I agree. He sounds like someone who is trying to prepare the fan base to lose a player that they like really like and want on the team, a very good player and an important player. So that's I think the right read too. He also though could know by July 1st whether he's going to be able to pull another big move to replace him. And if that doesn't come to fruition, if for some reason, whatever number of deals he might have irons in the fire on, he gets beat at the table and has to fold, that could change the Sabres' position. I'm not here to tell you that that's great process. And I don't know, Tuck maybe could end up offended. Maybe the way Drury eventually was when, you know, it took you how long? Now you're coming with the deal I would have took? You know, that kind of thing. But they could pivot to, you know, well, we couldn't get Robert Thomas and we couldn't trade for Matthew Nyes and we couldn't, whatever grab bag you want to talk about of ideas that are out there. And those ideas are all out there and being written about. He can't pull something off that he feels suitably replaces him. Then, well, I was willing to go to 9.5, but how does 10.5 strike you? You know, because I don't want to take a step back. And if I've missed my window to get a suitable replacement or replacements for Alex Tuck, then maybe I got to just kind of suck it up and live with the contract that I didn't want to do a month ago.
I suppose. Not to push back on that. I think you'd agree with this. I see Kekalainen as somebody that has a lot of confidence in himself. And what can he or can he not do in a trade market? You're talking about a scenario where he has his answer by the end of June and then maybe makes a move on Tuck. But before that, I think he's somebody that can get people to say yes. He seems like he might have that trait. And, man, that's a good trait. We've had GMs that did not have that.
I hope that's right. I mean, his first kick at it in the winter was Colton Parayko, and that didn't work.
Well, they said yes to the deal.
Oh, sure.
The Blues said
that
yes.
Part, but get the player to say yes is the, you know, the tricky part.
And if you make that deal, and however it got out, without even yet having the consent of the player, all the more reason to think that, we'll get this done. I mean, I'm not worried. I think he's got a lot of confidence in himself. And what I've been saying about the Tuck situation is, apart from how much confidence he has, you know, if he's doing his job, which I would assume he is, he's got contacts everywhere. Some probably have been contacts of his for many years and has been working on ideas. You know, this is still the Blues, perhaps, or maybe it's every team. You know, here are the possibilities. He would know all that by now. Maybe somewhere there's a board over there that has every team and like every player that, or just be on a file or something where you'd have a base knowledge of their availability and you'd already know your own interest in the player. What I want to have happen, nothing against the idea of keeping Tuck, is for this GM, a real GM, to have that figured out and be able to find his way to a player. He's got assets. Find his way to a player who is younger, that he thinks is the right fit and can produce almost to the same extent, if not to the same extent. Maybe he won't be 6'4". And he wants that too. That's how he acted at the deadline, going out and getting size like he did. But it just every passing day makes it seem that they're just not close on him. It does remind me of like Drury.
Yeah. You know,
a lot of these other ones over the last decade haven't meant anything. Just all right. And even last year, I'd have to admit, signing Zucker and maybe someone else. There was someone else. Greenway?
Yep.
Like, why bother when you're here? But the Sabres were rewarded for that. That's Adams. The Sabres were rewarded for keeping what they had together. And, you know, if not Greenway, Zucker paid them off with a very good season.
Let me just color. We're got to get to a break here. Just all the way into the lines here. I mentioned Knies. I don't want to get people. I don't want to irresponsibly get people excited. Like there's been a lot of reporting about a trade that almost got to the finish line at the deadline involving Knies with Montreal, Toronto and Montreal, and the paperwork was late and it didn't happen. And I just want to at least mention, it's possible he still gets traded. It's also possible that the GM at the time, Charles Living, was like flailing around in a life preserver fighting for his life and might have done something really reckless, like trade an excellent big 23-year-old two-way forward who's certainly got, he's got Tuck's production in his future if he's not already there. Nice. Like, I love this player. He's under contract till 2031, 7.5 or 7.75 is the number. 23 years old. I mean, that's the guy you describe when you're saying go find a guy that, you know, replaces him, that's younger and cheaper, and like there it is. And that would be a excellent move. I just don't know that the new leadership in Toronto is going to be eager to trade him. I think the guy that was running the show before was on his last legs and might, it's probably great for Toronto that they didn't get that trade done.
And that would cost you somebody significant.
It's going to cost you a lot. Yeah, it should. He'd be, but if he's on the market, like that is tough. It's the division, whatever. They were going to turn into Montreal. That's plug and play. Excellent replacement.
Ooh, that would be fun as a GM to try to capitalize on another GM you think is lame duck. I mean, it's serious business over here. Oh, you're quitting the league? But maybe I can get a good deal off of you.
Right.
What will it take? What can I throw in? How can I sweeten this offer? We'll see. Sal Capaccio coming up in just more than 15 minutes. Talking Bills. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Benson waits, along with Austin, who comes up to pick up the puck for Hellenius in front with a back end. Off the post. Scores! They stay with it! And it's tapped in by Zach Benson as this line is at it again in Montreal, and it's 3-0 Buffalo.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. The defense rests.
You don't want to make too much of the playoffs, right? Like it is the most important games of the season, but you don't want to make everything about those games.
You need to get there.
There's got
to
be the balance,
which,
right?
Trust us, we all remember that. You have to get to the playoffs in order for you to care about the playoffs.
But, man, so many players changed a lot of the discussion points around them because of the, 13 games they played? Mm-hmm. And I don't mean that totally as a negative, right? They are the most important games of the season. they should, in many ways, define people's legacies. But Benson's sort of a perfect example of that. Fun player that we're all still kind of waiting for the production. Ooh, we're getting it towards the end of the season. And then come the playoffs, him and Josh Doan kind of will them to wins late in that Boston series. And then even with Montreal, they kind of continue it. Byram is incredible against Boston. Same with Tuck. And then what are we looking at with Tage? Great game one. He racks up the points. But most of the series, it's kind of like, or most of the playoffs, it's kind of like, is he up for this? Is he hurt? Same with Tuck. Hell, I think most people are more comfortable with Tuck moving on. I haven't seen this necessarily a ton on social media, but I think this is probably part of it. I think people are okay with Tuck moving on because the theory is Josh Doan will take up the mantle, that he's going to keep growing and he could eventually become that player. I don't know if that's the case. He may. We had the almost exact same conversation with J.J. Paterka when they trade him to Utah. It's where's that production coming from? And instead you get more because he's a two-way player from Josh Doan. And he's young, which I have to always remind myself that he didn't come in as a 28-year-old ready-made player, that he was 23 when he got here. I have to always remind myself on that.
I mean, that's the kind of player that he is. It's who he is, who he's been, how he's going to frame his game, it seems, and or at least how we've seen his game
mm-hmm.
be framed so far. I got an evil notion in my head just now. We talked about it slightly in the break. Pittsburgh's a team that I would really like to see do something about offer sheets. I feel like Dubas would do something like that. And I feel like I know the target now.
Is it still Connor Bedard?
No.
Damn. He's so fun.
Zach, with what money could Vegas deal with the offer sheet for Pavel Dorofeev?
Right, yeah, they can't.
And all you'd have to do is, ready? Would you give up a first and a third for a guy that's 25? That has shown to be a decent goal scorer.
Especially in the playoffs?
Yeah. And you're probably looking at probably 8x6.
Would they be able to sign him to an 8-year deal?
No. 8 million by 6 years.
Oh, 8 million. Okay.
That's where I'd be interested to see what would happen there, because Vegas doesn't have the money to re-sign that player. They only have $4 million available in cap. In addition, with what money are they going to go ahead and come back at you with your restricted free agents?
Mm-hmm. Right. So you mentioned like a fear of retaliation. You bring up a good point with Vegas being kind of the one team that has to just sit there and, lack of a better phrase, take it. They would have to. Yeah, okay.
And Dorofeev, over the last 2 years, has been a 30-goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great idea.
There's your cup tax.
Guy
was great for all the play for every series in the playoffs. Now you're going to lose him to Pittsburgh
every
as they try to
the
get
playoffs
younger.
And back-to-back 30-goal seasons.
Yeah.
There's
your cup tax.
There's your cup tax. Also, I think it would be a message from the league, from the rest of the GMs of, sick your nonsense.
Yeah, Vegas might be the perfect team to do it because there might be a good chunk of the management groups that could go, oh, thank goodness, someone finally did something to them.
Yeah, it could be. No, we're sick of your games right now. And the interesting thing about that is a lot more teams could do that with Dorofeev, including Buffalo.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't – hang on, I mixed some numbers up on that. Go $6 million on Dorofeev on a bridge deal.
Right, it's 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A couple of years. It's a first and a third. Vegas still can't do that.
Mm-hmm. You take advantage of the team that doesn't have the cap space, has made the runs. And look,
if Seattle's general manager wasn't Jason Botchel, I'd tell him to poach the other expansion team.
You're telling him to do the same thing, but again, like this is not necessarily looking at a 1C here. This would be a sort of Tuck replacement. It's a bridge. It's not perfect, but it would allow them to still be competing. The young talent can still develop, but you're not putting all of the weight on their shoulders of you guys better be ready to go in October.
But like, this is where a team like...
It's not as flashy, but it
Columbus could do something like this.
If teams are actually willing to do it, it's, again, it's another strategy and it's another avenue that teams just don't use. And I'm consistently.
I would be trying to get Connor Bedard as much help as humanly possible. And they have the cap space to do it. They have the picks to do all of the offer sheets. RFA is a way for them to kind of get back into the league. Because Chicago's very much an afterthought right now.
Yeah, even after Bedard, it has not worked out. And again, I bring this up a lot. And 803-0550, we'll get to your calls here in just a moment. Players consistently are seeing if your team is not working quickly for you, go somewhere else. Bedard is considered, or was considered, one of those can't-miss prospects. It's been tough going for him, in part because of Chicago. Couldn't stay healthy last year. He was on pace for a very, very, very good year. But it has not gone well. It's why I bring up Tuck a lot for them. They have the cap space, and they maybe need that veteran winger next to Bedard to really get that going. But you're right. They're a complete afterthought. And maybe Bedard is somebody that wants to sign a bridge deal. Kind of pull a McDavid before McDavid and say, no. I'll sign here for 2 years. You've got that long to sort of figure it out, prove to me that we're going in the right direction. And then I'm out. Because he won't want to waste his career there. Not with Macklin Celebrini popping off in San Jose and them having just cupboards full of young elite talent. Oh, and the second overall pick to go along with that. Mm-hmm. Because draft lotteries continue to be stupid. 803-0550. Again, the number to call. Let's go to the phones. Rick is up first here. Rick, how we doing?
Hi, how are you? I've been a Sabres fan since day one, 1970. We've always had a good goalie in Buffalo during the years that we've been successful, except, well, arguably last year. You guys won't agree with this move, but I think it's worth a shot. Call the Blues, try to make a deal to get Kyrou and Binnington in here. They're going to want to get rid of Binnington. I don't know if you heard about the stunt he pulled last year on the bench, but they got Hofer as the starter. He's not going to want to sit on the bench behind Hofer. I think I'd roll the dice with Jordan Binnington. What do you guys think?
I don't think I would, Rick. Look, he was wonderful for them when they won the Cup, and he's great any time he puts on the Canadian jersey.
You
outside
asking...
of that, he is not good. Kyrou, I love. Binnington Binnington is not an upgrade over UPL or Lyon. He's
Binnington,
just not.
If you acquire Jordan Binnington, organizationally you've just gotten the fourth best goalie of your roster.
Yeah, what was his – because I know he was dreadful this last year. I want to get his
exact
stats.
You are asking for a goalie worse than the one that started for the Sabres for a majority of games this year. If you have a problem with Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, I need a better answer than Jordan Binnington.
He started 39 games this year, 13 wins, 20 losses, whatever. Save percentage.
New age Cam Ward ain't going to trick me. I don't think so.
New age Cam Ward. 873 save percentage, goals against 3.3. And that number's been kind of around what he is. Again, I think Binnington really starts off amazing in 2018, 2019 when he does go out and win the Cup. He's wonderful that year. 30 starts, save percentage of 927, goals against 1.8. He has never reached that high again.
New age Cam Ward. New age angrier Cam Ward. Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, too. I don't really need – Rick mentioned, too, like there was a stunt he pulled last – this is Binnington, though. Like it's not just one stunt. He's kind of been this guy.
He's kind of that guy all the time. No thank you.
Now, without that being said, if I'm getting Canadian Jordan Binnington, and I mean that by the guy that wears the Canadian sweater, different conversation. I also would say then the Blues are probably not giving him up. There would be a reason they trade him.
Yeah.
With that all said, though, Kyrou's an interesting conversation. If they lose Tuck, I'm willing to have that. The numbers don't look as great. The contract looks nice. I'm not willing to give up a ton there. The Blues, it's becoming difficult to really want to even work with them.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely at the point where if I see a report about the Blues, I'm not taking it seriously. Mostly because of I've seen what you've done with us now for several off seasons.
Well, remember, it's not just the Sabres.
Or not off seasons. Like this entire calendar year, excuse me. Who was linked to wanting to trade for Bo Byram Zach? Were they one of them?
They were.
Yes.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why? Because I started looking at Dylan Holloway and thinking that might be a nice piece.
Well, now I'm remembering, too, because Jordan Kyrou, I was on that last year. But they've become a real pain.
St. Louis is a waste of time.
Yeah, they've become a real pain for everyone to deal with. Robert Thomas, always on the trade block. They're never actually going to move him.
Yeah, I will never understand that part.
So I've, in many ways, kind of moved off. They could always circle back, and maybe they are getting something done, right? Kekalainen's entire sort of identity is that he's aggressive and is willing to swing for the fences and maybe get things done.
But that does not include Jordan Binnington.
That does not include Jordan Binnington. I don't really think he's too much of an upgrade over Lukanen and Lyon.
He's actually a downgrade.
Yeah.
At this point of his career, he's a downgrade. And that's – goalies are weird like that. You could be incredible, win a Stanley Cup, and then before you hit age 35, you're not taken seriously anymore.
I mean, a perfect example is with Vegas, Adin Hill. Adin Hill is wonderful for them when they go out and win the cup, and then he's now a disaster and a bad contract for
them. Adin Hill is now a kind of a potential disaster contract at 6.25 until 2031 with a modified no-trade clause, by the way.
Yeah, we're just handing those out, guys. Well, like, we cannot be doing this.
I'm cool with modified NTCs. You know, all that is just 10 teams tell me where not to send you.
That's fine. That's
fine. I can allow that. It is the full no moves. It's the full no trade protection.
And would you say yesterday, for the Sabres, Dahlin is the only one?
Correct.
That makes complete sense. You could maybe, again, have like two more. If you want Thompson on that list, fine.
It's kind of funny. Vegas is one of those teams with like the no moves that makes sense. It's Eichel and Marner and Pietrangelo, who is injured and probably will not play again.
Mm-hmm.
But he's 36 and 1 year left on his deal. Pietrangelo, by the way, probably would have been considered for the Olympic team if he... So Shea Theodore has a full no trade, until the last year of his deal in 2031, excuse me. But he's at least still fairly productive. Hanifin, same thing.
Hanifin, yep.
Mm-hmm. But that's it. Vegas didn't even go that crazy with him on the full no trade or full no move.
Yeah, right. Like, we know Florida is pretty aggressive with them, right?
Nine. Florida has the worst of it, I think. They have nine of them, and three of them are probably like non-starters on players I would even want anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Three more of them are, why are you even talking to me about them? Barkov, Tkachuk, Reinhardt.
Right. The guys that make sense. The guys that make sense. Realistically, yeah, we're never going to move them. They are going to be forever players, or we're going to hope they're forever players. The rest are, you may want to move them eventually, and now you kind of can't. 803-0550, the number to call if you're on hold. Stay there. Got to take a quick time out. We'll be right back. Sal Capaccio at the top of the hour as mandatory minicamp begins today for the Bills. And this is WGR.
It seems pretty weak that Dylan Larkin is asking out of Detroit, especially because like they're not far off. And he is the captain of a team that has imploded in the final month and change of the season time and time again at this point. Some of that is like your own accountability. I just think that it's kind of weak sauce to ask out when you're that close. I know that he's clashed with Stevie Y, but like, I don't like to see that from a captain.
Pete Blackburn. Strong words. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. It is 86 degrees out. Just so you know.
Don't complain.
You needed me to tell you.
It's not too hot. It's fine.
It's fine. It's hot, though.
It's
fine.
Of course it's hot.
It's not great. Well, is it great? Maybe it's great. It's not perfect. How about that? 86 is not perfect.
Yeah. It was not that hot yet. I played golf yesterday morning, and it was as nice as I feel like it's been any day I've been outside all year so far.
Yep.
But it wasn't. It was not. It got hot later in the day. Today was much hotter. Like I often will not even really feel the sweat on me if I go biking for 90 minutes or so, because the wind just sort of dry. And today was a day where I was sweaty when I was done, which does not always happen on the bike outside. So that's a certain way for me to measure how hot it is. It was hot this morning.
Yeah, it's your own system.
Right.
How sweaty am I?
I don't have a weather report, but yeah, it's a. I guess they're why I just gave you one.
Here's Brian next. Hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Long-time listener, first-time caller, season ticket holder since the odd, right? And as a follow-up regarding talk, the biggest thing I wanted to try to talk about with him is everything that he did, what I noticed during the regular season, as far as I just think he's a great two-way player. Obviously, his penalty killing speaks for himself. I think the Montreal series obviously wasn't necessarily a good indication of truly who he is, right? I think most of us could probably admit that. But my question is, we only have, what, $12.5 million worth of cap space, right?
Yep.
Thanks to that lovely Skinner concert or contract. But if we sign him for 10, how do we even come close to being able to afford Byram or Benson or anybody else like that? What's the status on the Greenway contract?
Good questions.
Norris, McLeod. Can we just get rid of these guys and gain that space, or are they counted against the cap?
You can divest yourself of any of those guys. I don't know, no trade, no move. I don't know how flexible the Sabres end of all that is. Like, if they can just do whatever they want with any of the people you mentioned, I kind of doubt it. The way to do it, for one thing, Byram, if they extend Byram, he is currently under contract already for 6 point something for next year.
As an RFA.
No. He's not an RFA. He has no status this summer. He is under contract for next season. That number stays the same. You can sign him for $9 million over seven, but it will not begin. It doesn't change his cap number until the season after.
Okay. Right?
Benson is a brand new contract. That'll be big. So the names you mentioned, Norris is at the top of the list to me. If they can divest themselves of that, I don't think that's going to be easy. Greenway, you mentioned, is another one. That's $4 million for next year. McLeod is $5 million. Talk about guys who disappeared.
Right.
He was a ghost almost the whole playoffs, McLeod. You can move money around that way and divest yourself of – but, it's not – Justin Danforth maybe is an LTIR guy. I saw something over the weekend indicating that there's some question about whether he'll ever really recover from the knee injury he suffered. So that's close to $2 million if you LTIR him, long-term injury reserve. So there's ways. But no, they'll have to do things if they want to, which they certainly should. At least in the case of Benson. Benson will have an impact on the cap, and it'll be big because he's been under $1 million, and he's probably going north of $7 million. So you're going to have to do something. Probably going to have to do something whether you keep Tuck or not. You're going to have to – there's going to be guys that you got to move out for money reasons, I would think. Krebs is also an RFA. And that's like he's become like a Swiss Army knife. I mean, he plays everywhere for this team. And – I don't know, his last contract was reportedly, it was arduous. It just didn't come together very quickly. And now he's got, is he a first line player? Is he a fourth line player? What is he sitting across the table from an NHL team? How do you pay him? So that might be complicated. And I'm not suggesting they'll just walk away from him because he's been, a very useful player. But they got to figure that out too. And I've seen estimates of that being $3.5 to $4 million a year. So there's a lot to be done. A lot of moving pieces potentially.
If it isn't this year anyway, though, it will eventually have to happen. And that's necessarily a part of the calculus on this decision is whether it's this year or next for any of the guys you mentioned, if they wanted to do it. Who's the better bet? I think those guys are maybe all better bets at their price than Tuck would be. But that's all. That's nothing. That's not much to say, because that's just another way of saying that Tuck is the best player of the group. because he's going to cost the most. But, you know, his age, too. Thanks, Brian. Good question. You follow Warren Sharp, right?
Sure do.
A couple of fun ones from him today. He had a tweet about Max Brosmer, who started at quarterback last year in Week 17 for Minnesota. And, as Warren points out, completed 9 passes for 51 yards in the game while taking 7 sacks, and they won 23-10. First team this century, Warren writes, to win by double digits with fewer than 5 net passing yards. All right, good stuff. I didn't take into account what century or net passing yards, like in terms of like ranking these things, mm-hmm. Or some of the details. But I thought to myself, or double digits. This was a double-digit win by Minnesota against Detroit in Week 17. I didn't care about that. But I did think to myself after reading that, what's the worst quarterback performance in a Bills win ever? And one game immediately came to mind. But I'll put it out there for you, and you can maybe try to beat it.
Okay.
1974, Bills Jets, Ferguson, 0-2. I mean, that's you can't say that isn't bad.
No. Well, I mean, it's only 2 misses.
That's right.
And no one else played quarterback in the game. He played the game.
Yes. Wow. It's that wind game.
Okay.
Namath.
0-2.
What's a worse day? Forget the final score. Forget who won. What's a worse day? Ferguson, 0-2. Namath, 2-for-18 and 3 picks for 33 yards. What's worse? Maybe Namath.
Namath is worse.
2-for-18, 33 yards, and 3 interceptions?
Yeah. Especially in the modern day, the 3 interceptions. Listen, at least Fergie didn't turn it over.
Ferguson also in this game had a rushing touchdown.
Well, I mean, there's this value right there.
All right, find me a Bills win where the quarterback had a worse day than 0-for-2. I mean, I'm sure he held – I'm not picking on Ferguson. I'm sure he held to the game plan.
Which was hand the ball to O.J. O.J. Simpson, yeah, right.
Which he did 31 times.
Right.
And Braxton another 17. Wow. 48 handoffs. Ferguson had 10 rushes of his own, 3 for Larry Watkins. So there were 61 Bills rushes
in
this
game. How many yards – you're looking at the box?
Yeah.
How many yards did Braxton generate on those 17 carries?
84.
Oh, nice.
O.J. 31 for 117. Braxton's average is better.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they're probably keying on O.J.
You think?
I'm guessing. But it was super windy. If you ever look up this game, 1974, how does Namath go 2-for-18?
Yeah, that's
and Ferguson go 0-for-2? It was impassable.
There's no way there's going to be. I'm not going to have a long list of games that I'm thinking of, but I remember a Bills – Texans, no, they didn't win that game. They lost it 12-10. Where there were the safeties and all that. Yeah. So now I don't have a game that I am like always thinking about. Oh, I remember this game the Bills somehow won in the blank. I don't have it.
Okay. I really don't have another one.
Yeah. 0-for-2. Wow.
0-for-2.
How long did it take you to find the game? Did you have this game on your mind? You had looked at it before?
Yes.
You knew? Okay.
It immediately came to mind.
I saw
the Warren Sharp tweet, what Bills game would be this game, and it would be this game.
Right.
But that's not necessarily, you know, what everybody else would say.
Right. It's not factually correct.
No,
it's
just
the game, but it's an all-time terrible game. Yeah. That they won somehow.
Maybe Cleveland's answer would be Derek Anderson. Here,
right.
When they won 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
And he went 2-for-that, like this. He had the Namath line.
Yeah.
2-for-17 or something like, wasn't it? Something like that?
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Also, Warren today had a tweet with every team's last shutout win, the last time they had a shutout. Do you know the last Bills shutout?
I don't know it, but I did see the tweet, and it's been 4 seasons since they've had one. So we just talked about that Viking game from Josh's rookie year that almost was a shutout, but it wasn't.
Right.
A late Vikings touchdown. So it's predating that, I'm going to guess. I don't remember.
This game came up last week when we were talking to our guest from Houston. Because he was it last week?
Oh, right. Because
he was like, he threw a little jab in about the Bills versus the Texans.
40-0.
40-0. The hint would be that this game, their last shutout, was against a quarterback that started against them last year and beat them, Davis Mills.
Right.
This is the beginning of the 0-1 season. You have the Pittsburgh loss, and then a shutout in Miami. They beat Washington here, maybe with Fitz, and then they beat Houston here 40-0. So they had two shutouts in 3 weeks, and that's their last one.
Which season is this again?
21.
21, okay. Yeah, block punt.
Pittsburgh,
yeah.
So a couple of little nuggets there from Warren today. I've been playing those puzzle games that we talked about
on
Friday.
Of course you have.
82-0.
Of course you have, and of course I haven't.
I want to say something about that game later. Okay. Hockey82-0.com. I'm losing myself in these.
I did go home and brag to Owen that G ended up loading that Sabre lineup that we came up with into the game, and that we went 82-0, and I felt pretty happy about that. That our first kick at it with a Sabres team, we nailed it.
Technically, that's the 84-0 site, and you can enter anything you want, I think.
Okay.
82-0, you have to spin.
Oh, right. Oh,
like
I
you
see.
And I did.
Okay.
Yeah, we got Gordie Howe and Bobby Orr together, still got beat.
Tony Esposito and Gordie killed us.
Tony, late stage Tony Esposito.
That's right.
What's the problem?
That's right. Yeah.
80s Tony Esposito.
That's right.
They're fun, though. I like the Geo Sport one where you touch places around the world. There are a couple like that.
Mm.
I know. Great time to be alive in this sort of context.
I guess.
Online apps and puzzles. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after this. This is WGR.
We're going to get some juicy rumors in the hockey world because, well, it's that time of year. Pretty much 2 weeks of the draft, and free agency begins the start of July.
Yeah.
I have one name I've seen linked to the Sabres that I don't think we're going to like an awful lot, but
okay,
we'll see. And then I have a question about that Edmonton player that's requested a trade. Darnell Nurse has requested a trade out of Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do that one first.
Okay.
I don't think Darnell Nurse for the Sabres necessarily, like, no.
No.
But here's what I would ask you. Do I have to rule out every defensive player in every one of these ideas? Werenski, right? There's some speculation Werenski might ask for a trade. Do I have to rule that out? Or should I consider that it is very possible Jarmo Kekalainen would treat it like anything else. Like, I mean, if it's Werenski, Owen Power's available, just like for a name here, right? We sometimes think about the core four defensemen, the top four. Keep that together, you're going to be good for a while. We feel good about that. But is there a short list of names that we should all entertain that could get Jarmo off of that four and into a different four? Werenski's a Norris finalist.
I had that
thought Norris
too.
Winner. But take it down from Werenski to...
Also, Jarmo drafted him.
Sure.
So
take it to the tier two guy, where he'd say, yeah, it's a nice player, but I'll upgrade. On the table?
I think it'd have to be...
Werenski.
Because of the history, because he is the best defenseman in hockey at times. I mean, he just won, you know, he's a Norris guy. So
I think it seems ridiculous to think about him. The price would be...
Well, I mean, he's got 1 year left on his deal, and if Columbus doesn't think he's staying, then they would move him, I think.
I think that's right.
I mean, are the Sabres going to rock two Norris Trophy defensemen?
You also have to be prepared. Have to be prepared to give him $15 million a year.
I was going to say, has that ever been done?
Two Norris defensemen?
Two of the three best defensemen in the sport on the same team?
Yeah, well, there was one that came to mind, and then maybe they're the only ones. The 07 Ducks.
Right. Niedermeyer and Pronger.
Yeah.
But maybe that's it. He's interesting. He's interesting. I think, like, Nurse or ideas like that, yeah, like a non-starter for me. Like, he costs a lot. The only thing that would give me a little pause is that he traded for Parayko. He did do one of these moves. He traded for Colton Parayko. So is there a equivalent of him out there? Like, I don't think Nurse is an equivalent of him because he's actually more expensive.
Yes.
And probably not as good of a player also.
No.
But is there another guy out there? Like, it would be enough to think about, but I'm not expecting them to acquire a big-name defenseman this summer.
No, I had the Werenski thing popped into my head this morning. Like, ooh, would you do like a Byram and what?
For Byram Werenski? And
Byram
Power.
And...
I mean, am I saying Byram and Power?
Ooh.
Like,
no,
be real.
Think...
Be real about Zach Werenski.
Yeah, but Columbus...
Byram is not signed. So, like, okay, they'd have to sign him.
But what is Columbus getting? They're not going to want Byram back because Byram's not going to stay there.
But I think Power would be the name. That
Power's under contract, and you know you have him forever.
Yeah. I think it's Power and maybe one of the prospects and
yeah.
a pick, probably. It's probably Power,
it's Power.
Oostland, and second would be my guess.
See, what you're doing, in a way, you kind of are trading Byram and Power. Maybe. Are you paying Byram if I do this?
No, that's what I mean. Like,
no, yeah.
So in that way, like, I'm trading Power to get Werenski, and then I'm not able to pay Byram because I'm getting Werenski.
Correct.
All of a sudden,
I still could see an argument. He is like,
I think that's still the best decor in the league.
That's also, by the way,
right.
The Team USA group chat, right?
That's exactly right. Like,
yeah, right.
We went through it yesterday. Like, how many guys are in a position that looks like they might want out? Like. Robertson didn't make that team, but he's around it, and he knows all those guys.
Yeah, he's an RFA.
Kachuk.
Yep.
Werenski was on there. Hellebuck's in there. There was another guy, another big name that's slipping my mind right
Hughes.
Now. Hughes is in there, and like that could blow up at any time. Sonny
really...
Data could, like, I don't know.
There is another name.
Well, Quinn Hughes is not signed. He's
no, right.
And what is he? He's got one more year?
He's got one more year, and it sounds like a three-year deal in Minnesota, but it's not done.
Brady Kachuk, you're right. Like, every big-name guy that you can get yourself to, like, oh, he could be traded, they're all American.
And
okay,
they're
so
all on that team.
U.S. guys.
There's another name on that team, and I've seen this player connected to maybe the Sabres for this player. Now, if they did this, they'd have to make multiple moves to kind of clear a spot, and maybe this is, like, where Ryan McLeod gets traded, but... Who's the Team USA guy that you're not going to like this idea that I've seen linked to the Sabres?
Trocheck.
Yes. Vinny Trocheck.
Yeah, I don't want that.
32 years old. Trocheck is probably on the move somewhere.
Yep.
I liked him a ton, like 7 years ago.
Yeah. Right.
Now.
Out.
Is he your new Zucker?
That's what I was just going
to
say.
If you're going to move off Zucker, you're going to go to Vinny Trocheck instead?
I mean, he's going to... He's
gonna, just like veteran guy.
He's going to win face-offs for you, but like that should not be why I'm trading for someone of that magnitude.
I could get there on that if you have the confidence that some of the young guys will replace the Zucker offense and you think that the upgrade on defense and mm-hmm. face-offs is worth it for Trocheck to be your third-line center. And then you think Oostland, Hellenius, all those guys are going to... Whatever the 10, 15, 20-point difference is between what Zucker would probably give you and what Trocheck's going to give you, if you could make that up, I could see them thinking, like, that works. But it's just, I would be a little nervous about
it. I just see the collapse coming for him.
Yeah.
Like, it already has begun, and it's pretty clear it's begun. It's incredible he was on Team USA.
Yeah, it was.
So, I don't know. I think... That player is showing glaring signs of deterioration, and I would not want to be signing up for him at this point. Like, and he'll be 33 by the start of next season.
Yep.
Yeah. No. Right. No. Thank you. I feel like the only thing I know he's giving me is faceoffs, and I don't want to spend that much to just fix faceoffs. Can I do that cheaper? Or can I do that with a better player? Go trade everything for Nico Hischier. He could be your new face-off guy, and he's 10 years younger, 6 years younger.
There was a report yesterday that it sounds like there's going to be a deal there for him in New Jersey.
That's disappointing.
It is
disappointing. I like that
idea. I really like that
and
idea,
and Lindy
too.
Likes him a lot, too.
Yeah.
I saw a quote, an old quote from Lindy, where he's like, he's Pekka. Mm. And he named him captain in New Jersey. So hopefully that contract doesn't happen, because I think that idea makes way more sense.
Adam Fox was the other name that was slipping my mind earlier that's on that Team USA, like in that group. He wasn't on this team, but he was on the Four Nations team, and he knows all those guys, and like he's probably
on. Are we assuming everybody on Team USA is in the group chat?
Oh, yeah.
Like not one person isn't in the chat?
Right.
Or is there a secondary, like,
is there a chat of, like, nine guys and it's not all 20 of them?
Sure.
Right, and it's, like, Hellebuck, Matthews. Matthews is another one. Like Matthews, Tkachuk, Eichel.
Yeah, like, there's, like a core, there's a core chat, and then there's an everybody chat.
There's also, by the way, an unintentionally funny thing about, like, Dylan Larkin, Team USA. You pointed this out. Who referred to the Minnesota Wild as a perennial...
An established power. What?
He wants to go to an established power.
They were the first team listed after that was said. They're 3-12 in playoff series in the last 15 years. What are you talking about, established power? The Minnesota Wild? They're good.
They're good.
But
they're definitely good.
Give me a break with established power.
Won one round in the last 20 years.
They finished 5 points behind the Sabres in the standings this year.
They lose in the first round every year of their existence.
Yeah.
They had 11 fewer regulation wins than the Sabres this year.
Yeah.
Minnesota. Good team. That established power.
I don't think it's crazy him going there, but established power was ridiculous.
David Pagnotta, fourth period. He was on the Daily Faceoff Rundown and was talking about the Tuck news. And suggested, like, if they lose Tuck, how are you going to replace him on and on? So, not a surprise. But he says, if we have a top six winger in his 20s that we deem expendable, we need to shore up our back end. Is Owen Power somebody we can target? There are teams asking that question. If the Sabres lose Tuck, they're going to want a top six. And teams are asking, okay, Owen Power available or not? And this is a name, of course, Power. Before the playoffs, I openly asked the question, kind of wondered, how much will Jarmo watch the playoffs and decide whether or not that player can hack it? And I thought Power was very good.
Yes.
I thought Power came out of the playoffs to me looking like a guy that could totally swing it and like not worried about it. But, you know, somebody makes a call. Could we have Owen Power in the right package for a player? This gets back to my question about should I be like ruling out defensive upgrades, or do you think Jarmo could really do something drastic there? Whose job was Parayko going to take? Right? Was he going to be in the bottom pair, or was he going to be in your top four?
It's a good question. Or they're just going to run five pretty well, pretty evenly balanced.
Right. They did that a lot.
That might have been the answer. Timmins averaged 19 minutes a night on the season.
Yeah.
But I think it would take a player of, like, Brady Tkachuk magnitude to get me to say, all right, I think I'd do that. Like, I'm very anti-including Power in any trade conversation at this point. I just feel like their top six without Tuck, I'd like them to replace him with something established. But if they don't, I'm still pretty confident in what they are next year. You trade Power... I don't know. What's their blue line now? That's the thing I know they're amazing at.
Mm-hmm.
You trade Power off it. It has to be an amazing player up front. Because my answer would be no on him in almost any circumstance. Like, if the Red Wings said, you can have Dylan Larkin and we'll convince him to go there. But it's got to be Power. Like, I don't think I'm doing that.
I'm not doing that.
Am I doing it for even Brady Tkachuk? Maybe
I would probably do it for Brady Tkachuk.
Am I doing it for Hischier? Like, how many guys am I actually doing that? Like, there's not many. Yeah, maybe Brady Tkachuk would be the only one I'd even say it about.
Really? I mean, Robertson?
No.
You do it for Jason Robertson? No.
Is Brady? Brady Tkachuk. Brady Tkachuk's shine came off
that
in this postseason a little bit.
I was going to say.
I'm in the mood to say no on almost everything.
Right, but
like, that one
Robertson's a stud.
Yeah.
All right, it's been juicy rumors. We'll do this throughout the next couple weeks. The draft is less than 2 weeks away. NHL free agency begins to start July.
Is it decentralized? Do we know that? Okay, so the GMs are not going to be there?
No, but there's a draft party in the arena.
So we won't get the, hey, this GM's walked over to Vancouver's table. And now they're talking. All right, fine.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Bills rookie T.J. Parker coming up top of the hour. We'll talk to him now that the Bills have wrapped up their mandatory minicamp. Have the big break now until the training camp schedule comes out, and that'll be likely July 29th. I wonder if it comes out today, now that they can actually turn the page to training camp.
Yep.
Could we get our St. John Fisher training camp schedule today? 803-0550, the phone number on WGR.